Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Great to be with you. Our thanks to Joe Crispin for saving the show in the last half hour. The show had taken a dramatic downturn in the opening half hour.
Yeah, I was depressed.
Ratings show that your topics are not... No.
Don't start that.
Don't start what?
Don't start that.
Let's review your topics.
Okay. Philadelphia's not getting the Olympics. Or it's not that they're not getting it. They're not going to bid for it.
IndyCar racing.
No, I did not mention. No, I have not said that today.
I said, let's review your topics.
Oh, I thought you were referring to today. I was going to say, I had some really good topics today.
Yeah, okay. So here's one that is interesting. Tom Verducci, Penn State graduate, and we will get Tom on the show. Tom and I shared the dais back in February for the first pitch dinner. And we'll get Tom on the show. And I think he's made a really nice transition from just being a great writer to now also being a part of the broadcast team on Fox as well as MLB Network. He talks about the fact that baseball today, and let's give the just due to the game. The game in a lot of ways is more popular than ever. People are consuming baseball in more ways, whether it's on their tablet, fantasy baseball, okay, going to the games. Ticket sales are going well. Rights fees are really, really good for Major League Baseball. So the health of the game, the business side, is really good. Here's the problem, though, is that, as he puts it, the next commissioner has this to deal with. That these customers are not engaged enough and not young enough. Everyone knows that look, I'm 56. I love the game. Right? But younger people, I think, love the fantasy part of the game, and I don't. I could care less. I mean, I just want to know if David Ortiz drove in the runs and the Red Sox won the game. Okay? Meanwhile, like Kevin's generation, they want, how many points did they get out of it and so forth. And you know what? That's a good thing because it means that you're engaged in the game. And I like that. So that's, it's just we have a different kind of passion for it. Here's the problem. In just 10 years... game time has increased 29 minutes and 11 seconds, and it's all dead time, while scoring is down 13%. In other words, the game, 29 minutes and 11 seconds of dead time has been added to each game in 10 years, and scoring is down 13.3%. That's huge. And I've talked about this repeatedly about more offense. That's why you see sports, more offense, more offense, more offense. Okay? Part of the time of the game and dead time is on the players, period. Okay? It's on the players, period. May 10th. Tom Verducci writes, in a game between Baltimore and Houston, a seven-pitch at-bat between Ryan Webb of the Orioles and Marwin Gonzalez of the Astros took 5 minutes. 7 pitches, 5 minutes. most of the time wasted with Gonzalez walking around the batter's box and Webb stepping off the rubber and the mound. May 21st, Tom Verducci was at the game, Cleveland-Detroit. Josh Outman pitching for Cleveland. Brian Holliday for Detroit was at the plate. The at-bat took 5 pitches. 5. It lasted nearly 3 minutes. Verducci wrote notes on the at-bat. Holliday swings and misses. Holliday steps out of box, adjusts the Velcro in his batting gloves. Holliday swings and misses. Holliday steps out and adjusts the Velcro in his batting gloves. Ball low. Holliday steps out of the box again, adjusts his Velcro in his batting gloves. Outman then steps off the rubber. Now the pitch, foul. Holliday steps out and, yes, adjusts the Velcro in his batting gloves and then grounds out.
Next at bat, he needed new batting gloves.
Well, but see, this garbage, and that's what it is. I'm sick of the rituals and routines and blah. I mean, I'm sick of it, okay? If you're too stupid to not put them on right the first time, then you should ground out. You deserve it.
That's right.
Okay? Okay, Danny Espinosa of the Nationals averages 27.5 seconds per pitch. He is number 2 in the majors behind Troy Tulowitzki, who's the leading hitter for the Rockies, 27.6 seconds. Basically, he asked him about it, and his response was, so what? Okay? And Verducci writes, quote, I don't blame Espinosa. Players' behavior has changed because the umpires, the union, and MLB have allowed it to change. For more than 100 years, players never needed all this time between pitches to, quote, prepare. But it became the style of the day because it has gone unchecked. The last player he remembers being fined for slow play was Jonathan Papelbon. Last year, Mariano Rivera was threatened with a fine if he didn't pick up the pace. One National League manager said, you're not going to stop it until you start fining them. You hit them with a $5,000 fine, it gets their attention. He says, I fine a guy $100 if they're not on the top step of the dugout for the national anthem. Believe me, that does actually get their attention. They hate forking over any money. It's embarrassing. Okay. So now he goes on. What do you do with it? Okay, the Dodgers have been warned by Major League Baseball about slow play. Okay? Their game, they have the slowest games in the National League, 3 hours and 22 minutes. Their roster is stocked with veteran players who take huge chunks of time between pitches, Verducci writes, and at the plate. The only Major League Baseball team that has a slower time per game, Tampa Bay, 3 hours and 27 minutes. The average time for Memorial Day was 3 hours and 11 minutes. So what can be done? Believe it or not, people, there are rules in place. Let's start with Rule 6.02. Verducci writes, it requires the batter shall take his position in the batter's box promptly and is not supposed to leave the batter's box except for specified reasons. In other words, you foul a ball off your foot, you can walk it off. Rule 8.04 requires pitchers to deliver a pitch with the bases empty within 12 seconds after he receives the ball. So Verducci writes, it is time to actually implement solutions. Here are some suggestions. He says, not all of them need to be adopted, he says, but it's time for action of some kind to excise some dead time from the game. Deputize the umpires to actually enforce the rules. Major League Baseball has to let them know that they have their full backing when it comes to getting batters in the box and pitchers on the rubber. You know how I feel about the roaming. I'm sick of it. Now you sit there and you're like, get in the box and hit. Don't adjust your gloves. Okay, they're in the exact same spot they were when you put them on. Okay, keep the ball live as much as possible. If the pitcher has the ball and is ready to go, the umpire should not wait for the batter to dally. He should assume the second the pitcher is ready that time is in. Batters should not dictate when time is in. I hate when I see a batter hold his hand up while he puts his... Just get in the box and hit. Okay? You can hold the hand up all you want. Ball's in play. I'm sorry, sport. That's a strike. Well, I called time. I didn't give you time. Get in the box. Find the players for slow play and announce the infractions. Detroit pitcher Max Scherzer, who, by the way, works as quickly as anybody in the majors. Here's what he suggested. The pitcher cannot leave the dirt area of the mound except to field a ball. And then Scherzer also says the batter cannot call timeout after the pitcher comes set at the rubber. Absolutely. He is absolutely right on both counts. Pitcher should never leave the dirt except the field. And the batter can't. How many times do you see time? You know, when I'm announcing a game, I can tell you when they're going to call time. I do it all the time in the broadcast. They're going to call time here because you can sense it's getting too long for the batter. The umpire has to say, I want time. I mean, no, hit. Then Verducci writes, install a 12-second pitch clock to enforce the 12-second rule. Okay, here's one that I've talked about before. Give each team a limited number of timeouts to use in the course of the game. Baseball is the only sport that gives teams an unlimited number of timeouts. Catchers visit the mound, pitching coaches stall for time, infielders conferring with a pitcher. It's way out of hand. Whatever the number, say it's 10 timeouts, you can divide them up any way you want, but no more stopping the game literally as many times as you want. I say 9. Game's 9 innings, you get 9 timeouts. Relief pitchers. Kevin, this goes to you. This is one that you have advocated for a long time, and he is with you completely. Relief pitchers get 2 warm-up pitches on the game mound,
yep.
Not 8.
Don't need any more.
Imagine if the backup quarterback comes into the game, stops and stands, and is allowed to throw 8 practice throws to his receivers on the field, then gets to play.
That's a great point.
Yep. He said, that's absurd, correct? Yes. Well, he says, that's what baseball does. The average pitching change takes about 3 minutes. That's not including the typical stalling for the time that precedes it. Says bullpen mounds today, unlike years ago, are virtually identical to the game mound. That's a good point. Pitching changes have increased 27% in the last 20 years, 78% in the last 30 years. Streamline the replay system. I think there should be one in. They should have a replay umpire along with a system in each ballpark. The centralized thing's not working. And also, give them something that doesn't look like they're on the space shuttle either to talk to them. Let's see. What else here? He says, placing limits on pitching changes. A lot of position players are now pitching. That's because managers have burned multiple relievers and have nobody left. The number of times a relief pitcher was used just 1 or 2 batters has jumped 31% in 14 years.
Situational pitching.
And then here's one, and I like this very, very much. Create an illegal defense rule. Shifts do work.
Sorry, I knew where you were going with this. I like this.
Shifts work. And I agree with this completely. Shifts do work. They're killing hitters who pull ground balls. It's harder to get a single. And you see it for lefties and righties all over the place. And look, all right, everywhere you look, okay, in sports, there are rules, okay? Okay, the goaltender, for example, in hockey can only handle the puck in the trapezoid. It's the only area he can handle it in, okay? In the NFL, you cannot send your five offensive linemen out for a pass. You can only have in the NFL one person, or in college football, one person moving before the snap. Now, that person can move set and then somebody else can move, but only one at a time can move. Baseball should have, okay, second base. You're allowed to have 2 infielders on the right-hand side and 2 on the left-hand side. That's it.
Play the game while it was the way it was meant to be played.
I mean, that's, to me, that should be a rule.
Steve, I want to jump in here because I have Buzz on the line who kind of likes the idea of the relief pitcher and kind of had that same mindset that Tom did when he wrote the article about the quarterback. Buzz?
Go ahead, Buzz. Steve, how are you, buddy? You calm down now?
Oh, I've been feeling great all day.
Okay. Well, I kind of stole my thunder. I was thinking about, you know, what if they're substituting a quarterback and they let the guy throw a few passes before the game starts. And, you know, it's just the whole thing. I'm thinking football has a certain amount of time. Basketball, you can't just hang on to the ball. Hockey, you have to – everything. You know, what is it about baseball that, you know, it's like George Carlin says, you never know when it's going to end. You know, I mean, right. Isn't that part of the charm of the game or – You know, is that you think it's going to affect people's attitudes about it if they put those limitations on it?
I don't think so, Buzz, because, you know, what we're talking about here is common sense. It's not. It used to be, I'll give you an example. The rule in the World Series about mound visits used to be different than the regular season. In 1972, it was really exploited by Dick Williams. He made multiple. It was all under the rules of the World Series. He was allowed to do it. He'd go out to the mound 3-4 times in an inning. But it was allowed. Then they said, hey, look, we need to change that rule, and they did. These rules are already in place. Okay, Rule 6.02 and Rule 8.04 are not rules to be adopted, Buzz. They're already rules.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. If they're there, why aren't they enforced? But I know for myself that I don't watch nearly as much baseball as I used to because the game has slowed down to a point where I just lose interest.
And I'm with you on that point, Buzz. I mean, if the game were between 2.5 and 2:45,
yep, that's it.
As opposed to where it is now at 3:11, 3:12, 3:15, just knocking a mere half hour, 35 minutes off a game would make it a more enjoyable experience, I think, for everybody going. Because guess what? The game already has its pace to it. I'm not talking about Speedy Gonzalez. Oh, my God, get the ball, pitch, get the ball. 12 seconds. Okay, if I were to stop talking here for 12 seconds, you'd realize how long it was because dead air on radio sounds like an hour.
Oh, yeah. I'd probably change stations. I'd have thought something happened.
Oh, yeah. Buzz, don't do that, man. Don't suggest that. No.
but, you know, it's just like I really like the minor. We like the Harrisburg on the island ball. We like the Williamsport. Those games seem to move right along, you know. But, you know, to go to the park and see the pros, I don't see how any of that's going to change unless more people feel like myself. I'm not, you know, I can't go to a game and sit there three and a half hours and wonder how it's going. I got better things to do. I can't stay interested. You know, if it gets to that and the owners start to see a decline in ticket sales, why, that might hit it. But I don't know how else, what other incentive they would have to change.
Yeah, and I think that what he's talking about is, look, moving forward, see, younger people are not going to be as interested or deeply interested in the game as we are, for example. Yep. That's the biggest concern that he has, and I think he's absolutely right. When you talk about the minor league games, obviously I broadcast 50 minor league games a year. I can tell you exactly what I see. They, number one, they have the one-foot rule in the box, and they do enforce it. You get back in that box, you can look down to third, but you have to keep one foot in the box and climb right back in and reset yourself. And I'll be frank with you, I think the plate is, in an imaginary way, a little wider in the minor leagues. They really force action and force you to put the ball in play because every once in a while I see that 25-inch wide strike that's thrown. Yeah. I sit there, go, okay. Well, and you try to. Yeah. You, I mentioned that.
You rarely see the high strike in Major League Baseball.
No, you really don't. I'm not as concerned about that as I am about stepping out, walking around, adjusting the Velcro in your gloves, stepping off the mound, wandering around, picking up the rods and throwing it back down. Look, okay, your job's to pitch.
Okay. In lacrosse, I'll give you. I mean, there's a lot of sports. Okay, basketball. You have to get a shot up in the NBA in 24 seconds. College basketball, 35 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
In lacrosse,
makes the game more interesting.
Right. In lacrosse, you're right, Buzz. In lacrosse, you have to get the ball into the box for a scoring attempt. I think it's 40 seconds. You can't be outside at 40 seconds with it. Okay, they have that to keep the action going. In the NFL and in college football, play clock every 40 seconds. Go, 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 go. I mean, baseball's like,
I think you've just pretty much just hit it right there. I mean, when you're watching hockey or lacrosse or basketball or football, you know something's going to happen within a few seconds. But when you're watching baseball, you don't know when anything's going to happen. I can't stand to watch anymore. I'm glad this came up today. So that's all I got, guys.
Thank you. Buzz, you're exactly. You said the thing that I was just going to jump in with, right there. It's tough to watch it. It's tough to be in my living room and watch it. It's not so bad if I'm at the game because there's a lot more stuff going on. But watching it on television right now is just grueling.
Yep, it is, and the advertisers have to know that.
But yet the health of the game, as Tom Verducci points out in his column, the health of the game with sponsorship, TV rights fees, and so forth has never been healthier. Now, is it going to be this healthy in 10 years? If they continue to take the game from 240, 245 to 310, 315, 320, I can guarantee you the health is going to change dramatically.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see if anything at all changes. But it's a good topic. Thank you, fellas.
Buzz, great comments. You really added a lot. I appreciate it. 800-795-9565. More on this topic, because I think it's intriguing and it keeps us away from the Olympics.
Actually, I'm looking to talk baseball.
Way to jump on board with the show. Way to get in line. It's good.
Indy's over now. I got another month before I could worry about that again.
362 days to go. One car all by itself going around four times, and you watched all of it.
Online.
You know, I saw the numbers that they had for that.
Yeah.
You know how many people total they had online watching qualifying?
Please tell me it was at least double digits.
One. You should be getting a thank you note soon. All right, more of Tom Verducci's intriguing article on what to do. Follow the rules. Timeouts, illegal defenses. I like it.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Did you see they lifted those Lion logos onto the back of the scoreboard, the LED
yes
logos? You know how much those weigh?
I don't know. It looked like a pretty big crane lifting it.
6,500 pounds. Wow.
I'll say.
Wow. During the break, Kevin and I discussed the Olympics, and I chose to do that during the break because I thought it was best for the show.
Well, you all said, right, can we talk about the Olympics for a second? And that's all it lasted was a second. So you were completely accurate with that.
Deep down, you hate me, don't you?
There are moments where... let's move on. Let's just move on.
There we go. Yeah.
You know, I like some of these ideas that you were talking about with Verducci, and you had mentioned two of them that I had talked about for a long time. Putting a pitch clock or a hitter's clock or some sort of a version of a play clock in the stadium. And that will help move things along. And I also like I said, I understand you need to get comfortable with the mound, but if you're a reliever...
This is something you've advocated this from day one.
If you're a reliever and you can't get warm in the bullpen, forget it. Eight pitches on the mound is not going to help you. You only need a couple of pitches to figure out where to land on the mound, and then you're done. And secondly, you've got all this time before the game to go out to the mound and look at it.
Right. I agree with you. You were spot on. I agree. I agree completely. I like the defense rule.
Yeah, the illegal defense rule. I do like that because it's just... Now, I complain because I know it really kind of started with Ryan Howard and everybody playing the shift on him, and now it's expanded. But it bothered me because it was, you know, a team that I liked that they were doing it to. But it's also not the way baseball's played. You don't play Major League Baseball with a short right fielder.
Right. And I agree. You know, I think that, you know, that's part of opening up the game a little bit. And I think because it's not just Ryan Howard.
No, not anymore. Not even close anymore.
I believe that if you look at it, I was watching a Yankees-Red Sox game. And I remember that of the 9 batters that came to the plate, 5 of them had shifts. I mean, come on.
Help me out with something, though. Go ahead and finish your thought first.
I just think that an illegal defense rule where you can't throw everybody on one side of the bag. You just can't do it. And I think if you say, hey, look, you're only allowed to have, you know, only two infielders on the right-hand side and 2 on the left-hand side. Now, if you want to take that shortstop and cheat him over as close to second as possible, but the problem is that you lose that short right fielder. And how many times do we see somebody get what appears to be a base hit to right field and the second baseman's out there playing like he's in a beer league softball game?
Well, and I think you can use the theory, and this is my theory, if you're looking for a reason to make it illegal, there's enough advantage right now for the fielding team, in my opinion. You know, you've got the pitcher, and he's got 7 guys behind him trying to stop you from hitting it anywhere in the grass or turf. So basically, you're looking at 8 against 1 now. You know, there's enough of an advantage for the fielding team; they don't need another one. And why?
I think, you know,
and why when there's a runner at second?
9 timeouts per game.
Yeah,
9 timeouts per game, and that 9 timeouts per game should include challenges and mound visits by the catcher and so forth. You get 9. That's it. 9.
Explain to me, though, while the shift is on and there's a runner on second base, why don't managers take advantage of that third baseman being off the bag enough? I mean, half the time the third baseman is in the shortstop slot, even with a guy on second base.
No.
Are they that quick at third?
No, I disagree with you on that.
Okay.
Usually when there's a guy on second base, you see the shortstop on the third base side of the bag. You don't see them. You don't see the overshifting when there's a guy on second. I don't. I don't see guys overshifting with it when there's a runner on second base.
See, I remember a few years ago when they first started doing it against Howard, it was Victorino on second base. And I swear the shortstop was playing behind the second base bag at closest to third. And the third baseman was in the shortstop slot. Why they did not have him stealing third, I have no idea.
If that were the case, I would doubt that because he, you know, well, number one, you do cut down the lead. You can't get a big lead.
That's true. You don't have a big lead. You're right. Okay. He did not have a big lead like he would normally have.
Yeah. Okay. But you still should be able to beat the third baseman over there.
I would hope so.
But I think that, you know, having an illegal defense rule where, you know, I mean, the outfield's one thing. It's so spacious out there. You know, I don't mind shifting there. It's the infield shift that's killing you. But
you're not adding extra players, though, by shifting the outfield the way the infield is shifting.
Right, exactly. Exactly, you don't. And that's a completely different thing. I think in the infield, you should allow to have two on the left and two on the right. And that's it. And that's, you look at various sports. Okay, the goaltender is not allowed to go into certain areas on the ice and handle the puck. Okay, in football, you're only allowed to have one person on offense moving, and you cannot. And the five guys in the offensive line can't catch a forward pass. Can't. You already have restrictions on what everybody else does in every other sport, right? You know, and every sport has timeouts, three each half in football, okay, one in hockey, seven in the NBA, five in college basketball, use it or lose it, okay? If you don't use your timeout in the first half, you're down to four in the second half. And everybody has these rules in place about stoppages of play. Well, you know, to me, you got nine innings, you get nine timeouts, and that includes, and look, hey, if you've mismanaged it, if you have mismanagement, and you didn't warm up somebody in the bullpen, I don't need you going out there messing around to, you know, kind of buy yourself some time because you blew it. Okay? The reason that you're out there to buy time for the bullpen is because you mismanaged it. Okay? So we all get to watch you go out there with a slow walk to the mound. No, this is how it works. You send the catcher out to talk to him. Then you send the pitching coach out, and it looks like he's 98 in terms of pace. Meanwhile, some dude in the bullpen's grabbed the ball, and he boom, 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 trying to fire away out there. The reason is because you didn't get anybody up at the start of the inning thinking this was a possibility. So because you mismanaged the game, we all have to wait. Right?
I totally agree with you. And I don't think pitching coaches should ever come out to talk to a pitcher. I just don't think there's a reason for that.
I agree with you, but if you go with the nine timeout thing, then so be it.
Then it's not an issue. Okay? Right.
Okay? You know, and to me, if the catcher goes out to talk to him, and then the pitching coach comes out, okay? That's two timeouts. Okay? You have to do one or the other, okay?
I guess my question is, what is a pitching coach going to say that the general manager or that the manager can't do or can't say?
Well, they work specifically with them, so, you know, they kind of...
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you know,
pitching coach has no other purpose other than stall so that the reliever gets warmed up.
I disagree with that. I know, like, when I go out to the mound, you know, and I would talk to pitchers. I would actually go out with specific things to talk to them about. In other words, hey, look, you're standing too straight up and down. You're not bending your body enough. You're not getting enough leg drive off the bat. I mean, there are things I would see and talk to them about.
But that's what I'm saying. A manager could do the same thing.
Right. Well, I'm sure they could.
But I'm just saying, nine timeouts. I don't, you know.
Right. Nine timeouts, it eliminates that issue.
Right, and I pick nine because it's a nine-inning game.
I even think nine is too many.
Yeah, but that includes the catcher going
right.
out.
And I'm still, I think it's too many.
And that includes the infield coming around. Okay, it includes all of that. I mean, when you are changing pitchers as often as these guys are changing pitchers, okay, nine timeouts includes you going out to take the pitcher out. Okay, so guess what?
Okay, nine would be all right.
Okay, suddenly you go through an inning where you use three pitchers. Guess what? You just used three timeouts.
But why? Here's another one. You mentioned this, too, a couple of times now. The infield coming in and the catcher coming in and all talking to the pitcher. You're Major League Baseball players. If you guys can't communicate and figure out what you need to do, I mean, high school teams don't even do that as much as they do in the majors anymore.
Right, I completely understand what you're saying.
I mean, I get it if you've got inexperienced players on the field and you want to tell your third baseman, hey, you've got a runner on third, so the pitcher's got all the bunts. But in Major League Baseball, you shouldn't have to have that discussion.
No, well, I mean, you just went through a month and a half of spring training, for goodness
sakes.
You don't have it. After 6 weeks as a professional, as a man, if you don't get it, you shouldn't be playing in that level. Okay? Simple as that. I mean, and that's his article, again, the health of the game, and it's something that he pointed out, the health of the game right now. I mean, look at the TV rights fees. The TV rights fees are tremendous. Look what the Dodgers got. Well, you know, and a lot of people, because the Dodger deal is so big for television, people don't realize how big the San Diego deal was. San Diego, I mean, that's San Diego. It's the Padres. They got a gigantic television deal. So television deals are huge. They're paying big money. And so there is great cash flow in an $8 billion business. But what we're talking about is that if you start making some corrections now, you'll be able to, 10 years from now, still continue to have that kind of health in the game. Jason joins us. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good to hear you and good to hear from you again. And just very briefly, you've been discussing this situation, but I want to ask you the question, how did we arrive at this point in this sport? How and why is this persisting? Is it strategy-driven, or is there something else behind the reason that these games are so long and they're continuing to do these drag-out tactics? And I'd love to know why this is.
Well, that's an excellent question. I think you've hit on part of it. Part of it's strategic, because now you have, you know, and Joe Crispin was on with us last half hour, and one of the things that we talked about that's so important in sports that Jack and I talk about, that Dick and I talk about all the time, is matchups. Matchups are very important. And when you look at a football game, we talk about the matchup of a tight end on a safety and why it works and so forth. Or running back on a linebacker. In basketball, we talk about a couple specific matchups that could swing the game one way or the other. Well, now let's take this to baseball. In baseball, for example, Kevin, you were telling me some statistics about Ryan Howard when he faces left-handed pitchers.
Right. Ryan Howard strikes out about 41% of the time against left-handed pitchers.
So part of this is strategic-driven, Jason, in that, look, I have Ryan Howard at the plate. I've got two guys on. It's the seventh inning. I want a left-handed reliever to face him. So part of that is strategy-driven. Okay, I'm all right with that. But at the same time, I bring that left-hander in. He should only get two warm-up pitches, and that should be it. Oh, and by the way, I've used one of my nine timeouts to get him out there. All right? Once he gets in there, he needs to. Then it's up to the umpires to follow the rules, which now brings us to the second part of your question.
Yeah.
The umpires have allowed the players to have license to break the rules to the point where the players themselves don't know that the rules exist. When a batter gets in the box, he's not supposed to leave the box. That's Rule 6.02. When a pitcher with nobody on base is supposed to deliver a pitch 12 seconds after receiving the ball. That's Rule 8.04. And those rules are not followed at all. Thus, you get situations, as Tom Verducci pointed out, where an at-bat between the Astros and Orioles was 7 pitches, 5 minutes. 7 pitches, 5 minutes? Really?
Well,
Then he had the Cleveland, I think it was Cleveland-Detroit example, where it was 3 minutes and there were five pitches delivered. And the number of times where the batter got out and adjusted the Velcro in his gloves, hey, dog, get back in there. I don't care if the Velcro fell off. Okay, get in the box and hit. Okay, he's got the ball. The other part, too, is they're always asking for timeout. And not only that, when they get it back in the box, how often do you see the batter, let's take a right-handed batter, puts the bat down across the plate with the left hand while holding the right hand up looking at the umpire? If I'm the umpire, I'm pointing at the pitcher and going, let her rip. Guess what? Yep. That's the last time you hold the hand up and say, I want time.
Yeah. So all this being said, I'm just wondering how much of this is revenue-driven.
Well, the revenue is time.
The game going, the more commercials you run, the more times you have people inside of that ballpark buying more food, doing more things. Somebody made a very good observation to me once. This is a gentleman who has family that run concessions for Citizens Bank Park. And he made that we were discussing the younger generation and how for so many of them, they're not there for the game, they're there for the event. They want to be a part of the party, and they want to go to have something to eat, even though it's at movie prices and outrageous amounts. But, you know, how much of that, you know, is if you cut that game in half, you just cut off half your commercials, you just cut off half of your concessions. Does that really affect it? And I'm just wondering what your opinion is on that.
And you're absolutely right. Citizens Bank Park is a perfect example of a stadium built for that reason.
Right, but let's take this in two parts. Okay, number one, Jason, it doesn't affect the TV side at all. Has no effect on it at all. Because the game's nine innings, you already have built-in breaks all through it, and the pitching change one's the shortest break of all. So television is not affected by it at all.
Okay.
Television, in fact, if you cut the game back to 2.5 to 2:45 and just knock a half hour off the games, they're just going to make up for it in the post-game show anyway. So that's you know, that doesn't matter. And they get designated breaks during the course of the game. Now, as for your other point, that's a really intriguing point. Yet I would like to ask your friends, okay, what their sales are like after the seventh inning when beer sales are cut off.
Yeah, I wish I knew. Unfortunately, this person, I no longer have access to ask them, so we're just going to have to be left to wonder.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is when I've gone to the ballpark to a ball game, usually early in the game, up to the midway point of the game, I'll go to the concession stand, whatever, and the line will be there and so forth. And obviously people are buying whatever. I don't care what happens to be, a hot dog, a sausage dog, or buying a beer. But once the seventh inning rolls around, it's usually pretty easy, whether it is going to the bathroom or going to the concession stand. There's nobody in the concourse anymore.
Right.
So I think that while you make a really, really intriguing point, one that I had not thought of, I think the later the game goes, the more that's blunted. And I think if you knock a half hour off the game, you're still going to get the heavy concessions pregame, early innings to mid innings, because I think research will show that it starts to really, once you get to the seventh inning stretch, that's about the last time I think you're seeing people really going to concessions.
See, and I might be different, though, because when I come in, for instance, at Citizens Bank Park, I come in by way of Ashburn Alley, and that place is jammed an hour before the full gates open. So I don't get anywhere. So once the seventh inning rolls around, that's when I actually start to go out, and I see quite a few people out there in the games that I go to.
And I have to wonder, too, if you do start to make the calls and shorten things down, when you get into those games that are extra innings, will that encourage people to stay longer, whereas before they would have been out the gate at the ninth or the tenth because it was just too much time involved? Do they stay? Do they continue to spend? Do they continue to participate? So you have to wonder there.
Right. That's a great point. And let me follow that up with this. If the game is, let's just pick 2:45, okay, which I don't think is an unreasonable number. So instead of having a game on Memorial Day averaging 3:11, it's 2:45. Now, okay, I've gone to a 1 o'clock game, it's 3:45 in the afternoon. My tendency to want to go over to Ashburn Alley and get something to bring home with me
is greater than, oh my God, look, it's 5:30. We got to get the heck out of here.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Especially when you have a 2.5-3 hour drive to get home.
Very true. Very true.
I think you bring up some really intriguing points. Some of which I hadn't thought of, but I think that you can work it in such a way where it would work for everybody. Because I mean, again, you know, a 3-hour and 20-minute game, or if it's a Red Sox Yankees game, 4:15.
Yeah, I was gonna say give a good 4 hours there.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, there's enough beer in the world to get through that.
Yep. I just can't wait though. You know, if they ever listen and if they realize what they're doing to their fan base, and you know they're cutting off their nose to spite their face by allowing this to continue. I long to see the day when it gets reported that somebody actually is calling all these infractions. First the players would get stunned, then the sports writers would get stunned. It would probably make major news. Guess what? This Indians Blue Jays game was being called the way it should have been. It would probably be at the top of the list. I long to see the day. So thanks for the topic of conversation today, guys.
Yeah, and we'll thank Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated, the Penn Stater who wrote the article. It's his baby that we're talking about here from SI.com. And we'll get a hold of Tom. We'll get Tom on the show here in the next month or so. In fact, Tom will show up here once in a while at a Spice game, you know, and I get a chance to talk to him and so forth. But I think he wrote just a food for thought kind of article where, and Tom's really passionate about the game, and the problem is that it's when you watch a hockey or a basketball game, okay, the ball or the puck is always in play. Okay, the World Cup's coming up. Guess what? The ball is going to be in play the entire time. Whether you think there's not enough scoring in soccer or whatever, that's irrelevant.
There's action. There's just not a lot of scoring.
Right. The ball's in play the entire time. I mean, there's no point where the ball's not in play. The puck's always in play. Okay? The ball in basketball's always in play. In football, yeah, it's not in play that much, except if you're watching the game on TV, the replays make you think like the ball's in play the entire time. In baseball, it's a different game, which is great, especially in the summertime, but they've pushed it to the limit here in terms of the amount of time. I remember, you know, look, I'd watch a Red Sox game and Nomar Garciaparra. He's the first guy I can really think of at the top of my head that was adjusting his batting gloves in every single. They're like, oh yeah, you know, that's his ritual. Get the heck with the ritual. Get in the box and hit. Okay, get the ball on the mound. All right? What? Waiting extra time is going to do what? It's going to make you pitch better? Really? Are you that bad? I mean, why is it Mark Burley is so effective? You ever watch Mark Burley pitch a game?
I have.
Remarkable, isn't it?
He needs a rhythm.
Mark Burley, Max Scherzer, okay? Two guys that don't mess around. And guess what? They're both highly successful. Burley has had himself, between the White Sox, Marlins, and now Blue Jays, a really good career. Max Scherzer's having himself a really good career. And you know what they both do, Kevin? They get the ball and they pitch. Okay, they don't walk around, stalk around. They just don't mess around. Their entire goal is to get back to the dugout as quickly as possible. I love watching them pitch. Love watching them pitch. Marvelous. I watched Clay Buchholz pitch. You can go to the concession stand for an hour.